We've got our coffee. We're ready to roll. Excuse us if you hear some sippy, sippy, sips because it's coffee time. It's coffee o'clock.
How many have you already had?
Only like one sip, and that's the problem.
You're like, ba-bing.
I know. I'm just in the mood to record. Been in the mood to record. Sitting in the mood to record.
Sorry. It's taken me forever. This has been my bad.
That's okay.
And we've been really
I don't think it's your bad because, like we've talked about, we've gone back and forth about this a lot, that a lot of the podcasts that we ourselves in the past have listened to do not include all the details that sometimes we wish we would have heard and that we find in other places. And then it's just that, where's the line of not enough versus too much detail? Yes,
exactly.
Where's the sweet spot, Goldilocks?
Exactly. Well, and I'm afraid, honestly, that I have maybe this is too long, too much information. There's like a lot of backstory and a lot of just like, I feel like you need to get to know the cast of characters. And I have left out a lot.
A lot.
I have left out a lot, but there are details that are important.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm excited to hear it. But first, shall I tell you my disturbing podcast?
You have a disturbing podcast? Is it called That's Disturbing Podcast @gmail.com?
Or @thatsdisturbingpodcast on Instagram? No. I meant my disturbing fact.
Okay.
And then I just made myself laugh into like a sad silence.
I was here. I saw it all happen.
Into a sad silence of my stupidity from time to time.
It happens.
It's okay. Yeah. Happens to me often. Okay. I found this study that these Canadian researchers did. Mm-hmm. That was really interesting to me. Okay, so basically the like hypothesis was what happens when you put a dead pig under 300 meters of water?
Ew. Why do we want to know that?
Well, if you're a taphonomist, I believe how you pronounce it, taphonomist.
Mm-hmm.
You study things when they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Curious about the impact of pigs versus human bodies.
Right. That's
because
what they always use as pigs.
Yeah. Because pigs are the most similar to humans, right? In the makeup of a lot of things.
Yes.
Like
skin. DNA. Or not DNA.
Not our DNA.
But like skin and fat and muscle and.
Yeah. They're just basically about as close as you can get to a human body legally. To do research on. You know, legally. Like I said, the Canadian researchers, they submerged two pig carcasses in the Strait of Georgia, which I looked it up. The Strait of Georgia is freshwater, not salt water,
mm-hmm.
just to see what would happen. Mm-hmm. And so they did this in two different seasons. They did a study in autumn and they did a study in the spring.
I like that you said autumn instead of fall.
I think it's Canadian to say autumn, isn't it?
I don't know, but it sounds fancy.
It does sound fancy. That's kind of why I said it. I was like, I'm feeling a little bit bougie today.
Right. In the autumn.
Yes, I'm trying to make up for my stupidity from 5 seconds ago. Okay, anyway, so the reason why you might ask that they do this is because for people, we were talking about the research, right, that they wanted to do for it in comparison to humans,
mm-hmm.
but also for like rescue teams, like what are they working with, basically?
Gotcha.
If it's been a day, are we still working with a body? If it's been a week, what are we working with?
Like, what are we looking for?
Yeah, exactly. Because of this, they found something really interesting. It took about 4 days for the pigs to completely turn into bones.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's fast.
Yeah. So they followed the pigs around in like various times of year, like I said. So they did it for about 150 days in total, but it took 4 days for them to turn into bones.
Okay.
So it says that in the past, these studies that they've done, they've like examined whales and stuff and other marine animals. I mean, obviously, pigs and humans are not marine animals.
Correct.
But those can take like decades to decompose in the water. Yeah. And so it's pretty crazy that our bodies can erode so quickly under deep freshwater.
Yeah.
But the one interesting thing that they've found about it, the reason why we decay much faster than marine mammals in this condition is because the lysinacid amphipods.
Sure.
Amphipods. They're like small, shrimpy looking creatures eat the body, except for they eat from the organs to the outside. And then when they're done after 4 days, then a bigger version of them comes along, which is called the Pandalus platyceros.
Okay.
And then they basically like finish off the cartilage And then we're just left with bones.
Wow, that's crazy. So basically, they just get eaten.
Yeah.
So it's not an actual disintegration or deterioration. It's more of an ingestion.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, I mean, that goes to show, you know, that if something happened to you, if you had a boating accident somewhere, like in deep water, mm-hmm. right? And you fell, that you're at the bottom. Mm-hmm. It could be day three and like there's not going to be a whole lot left of you to take.
Alrighty.
Or, you know.
Good to know.
However many people's skeletons are down there.
Oof, that's weird to think about.
Yeah.
Although it is very insightful and informative information. Thank you.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. I thought it was super disturbing.
It is.
And it also study,
just
they
gets your brain twirling.
Well, in the study, they showed like the before, like just the dead pig bodies, right? In these cages, they like, you know, they set it up as a proper research, as a proper experiment. Mm-hmm. And so they showed like all the different stages that they'd recorded underwater of it too. And it's so weird. It's just literally like a pile of bones. There's nothing even keeping it together anymore because of then the like larger shrimp creatures
that come and eat the cartilage. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But the smaller ones, they like your organs before they'll go for your skin.
Gotcha.
So,
eating from the inside out.
Eating from the inside out. Yeah, I just thought it was really interesting.
Nice. And I can just picture all these little sea monkey looking things.
I think they're bigger than a sea monkey.
Well, I think so, too. But maybe not the tiny ones.
No, it said that they there's pictures of them. Would you like to see?
Yes, please show me. And this is great visual for the podcast.
Always.
And you always say you're going to post shit from these.
Yeah, and then I never do. I'm yeah. sorry.
Yeah, and then I never do.
Well, okay. I guess, I mean, you can't really see it perfectly. I would say it's like the size of one of those tiny little like silverfish.
Like a minnow?
Like a minnow.
Okay.
It's like the size of a minnow, right? So way bigger than like a sea monkey.
Yeah.
But then you can see like the other ones are like
big.
They're shrimp, basically. Right. They're like large, but they're freshwater.
Jumbo shrimp.
Yeah. They're freshwater, though, instead
of freshwater jumbo shrimp.
Freshwater jumbo shrimp.
No, I don't want to eat cartilage. Like that.
They eat cartilage.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mom, part two?
Yeah. Shall we?
We shall. Sorry.
Sorry. I'm just like thinking because I'm like, do people eat those things? And then those have eaten pigs and people and whatever else they've eaten. But then I guess that's just the circle of life. So anyway, I'll stop now.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, I suppose, just the circle of life. Yeah, because if you think about where...
Nope, I don't want to. We can stop now.
If you think about where, nope.
No, I don't want to think.
Then.
Nope, no so thinking.
We're no thinking.
We're no thinking.
We no thinky today.
No more. Right,
go for it, Mom. Sorry.
Okay. So we're doing part Lou. We're doing part two of Betty Lou Beads. And where we last left off, she was... you know, crazy and had some bad relationships and whatnot. So if you want to go back to
sexy tiger
and sexy tiger times. So if you want to go back and listen and see, that's where I'm like, oh crap, I probably put that in. I didn't need to, but I just thought it was entertaining information.
Right. Well, that's,
I mean, it probably doesn't have any fucking thing to do with the story other right. than the fact that
literally has zero to do with murder.
But what it has, it shows you her character. But not that she's going to be a stripper because there's nothing with that, but that she's 42 saying she's 32, that she's like, oh, hey, who wants to help me put this pasty back on? Like, it just shows you her personality and how she gets all these men.
Right.
Because she's the, oh, hey, help me. I'm in distress.
The sexy seductress.
Sexy tiger.
Sexy tiger. Meow.
Right. Okay. So anyway.
Ay, ay, ay.
Okay. You're going to have to cut all that out.
No, I'm not cutting any of that out.
Yay. Here we go. She met Doyle Wayne Barker while she was getting gas at a truck stop in Mesquite. And he goes by Wayne, so I'm not going to call him Doyle. I'm going to call him Wayne. He noticed
I've
Betty.
I've never heard of anyone being named Doyle, like the first name.
I've heard of Doyle, but I can't think of what it's in. But it's like a TV show or a movie or something. But anyway,
I'm just saying. Uncommon.
So he goes by Doyle, Wayne, not by Doyle. And so we're going to call him Wayne. And he noticed Betty right away and he struck up a conversation with her because, again, she's all cute and little and, you know, is
a sexy tiger.
She's a man magnet. She's a man magnet.
She's a sexy tiger.
On purpose. I think it's by design that she's a man magnet.
Yeah, with her Dexedrine.
Exactly. Wayne's tall. He's good looking. He has brown hair, brown eyes. Like, he's her type. He's
ooh la la.
The kind of guy that she goes for.
Okay.
And he told her that he was a construction worker and he worked as a roofer. And
a roofer?
A roofer.
Roofer. Not a roofer.
A roofer. God, you sorry. Think we're drunk or not.
We're just high on life.
Yeah, that's it. And after they've been dating for about 6 months, she called Ronnie. Remember Ronnie, the one that she tried to run over before he left town? She calls him and she's like, hey, I filed for divorce. And he's like, cool, thanks. He's like, I'm good with that.
He's like, thank you for doing that.
Right. Thanks for doing the work. You're good. We're done here.
Yeah, we're good.
Hallelujah. So anyway, Wayne had been married before for 8 years and he had 2 kids from his previous marriage. And so he got along with Bobby right away, which is great because Betty apparently just really introduces her kid to the men she's seeing right away. Which
Introduces Bobby anyway.
Yes, yes. One of her 6 children. So Wayne worked for this guy named Jerry Kyendall, who owned a roofing company. And Wayne was
roofing.
A roofing.
What's up with that roughing?
Because I listened to this other podcast and they say rum instead of room. And so apparently I'm adopting the rum roofing. Apparently I've changed my dialect
roofing.
Where I live by listening to this other podcast osmotically that I now am a different location regionally and dialectally.
Okay. Sorry. I'll stop.
But you said cartilage. You just say cartilage. You don't have to say cartilage. I didn't correct you.
What do you mean? It's pronounced like cartilage.
I think you just say cartilage.
I think that's like the way you say refrigerator instead of saying fridge or refrigerator. It's never been a refrigerator.
It is a refrigerator.
You had Bill saying that the other day.
Yes.
I was like, I said, oh God, not you too.
Yes.
I looked right at him. I said, oh God.
I am corrupting people's verbiage. I love it.
Definitely, maybe.
Probably, definitely, maybe.
Probably, definitely, might be so.
Yes. Okay, so back to the roofing.
I don't understand how you could start saying it so crazily because you say oof and oof all the time. You always go oof, roof. Oof. Is that an R in front of your son?
I'm going to start saying oof.
No.
Oofing.
You said oof.
Oof.
Oof. Okay, sorry.
Goodness gracious. No, you're good. I just can't see now because my eyes are all blurry from watering, from laughing. And then I rub my eyes and I have lotion in my hands. And now I have lotion in my eyes and now I can't see. But anyway, we're going to go. We're going to go ahead and go. He was a good worker. He was considered like the lead roofer at his company, and he always was willing to work late. He never wanted to leave a roof unprotected if a storm was coming. He never complained about the weather conditions or having to put in extra time. So like he's a good worker. That's what I'm getting from this, is that he has a good work ethic.
Yeah, he's a good employee.
Yes. So Jerry Kyendall's son was Bobby's age, and they became friends, like, right away. And Jerry had a farm that was close to the Cedar Lake area, which I don't know what that is, but sounds nice. Something named... It's in Texas. I know that.
But it sounds nice.
Well, Cedar Lake or Cedar Creek Lake. My bad. Even better. Cedar Creek Lake. Does that not sound like a nice area?
It does.
You're looking at me wincing. Like...
Like, I don't know what it looks like, though.
Well, it sounds nice.
That's like...
You picture cedars and creeks and a lake.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that sounds great and awesome. But think about how lovely... Oh, let's see. What name sounds lovely that's an absolute just not...
Shithole?
Yeah.
I don't know. So the families got together pretty regularly and the boys would hunt in the big pasture behind the farm and fish in the creek and spend the night at each other's houses. So I'm just laying a picture of how tight these families are. So this was exactly the life and the man that Betty was looking for. And Betty and Wayne married in Dallas on October 3rd, 1979.
So wait, I thought she was in Mesquite. Is Mesquite close to Dallas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but I guess they went to Dallas to get married. I don't know. Maybe there's nowhere to get married in Mesquite.
Okay. In 1979?
Yeah, there wasn't any place in 1979 in Mesquite to get married, I guess.
Okay, so they went to Dallas. What, 42?
Yeah, 42 or 43, because she was born, 42.
Because yeah, she was born in 37.
Yeah. Wow, way to pay attention.
I always do.
Retaining information.
Except for when, you know, something happens and then I can't pay attention, like when you attribulate things. And then it's like, wait, what?
Oh, man.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. So, but guess what happened? They fought constantly.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah.
Since when?
And after 7 weeks of marriage, they separated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And this is even faster than some of the previous.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is the life she wants and the man she wants. But wait, back up. Hold the phone. Apparently not so much.
Right. Not actually.
Not actually. So Faye's husband, that's Betty's oldest daughter, told Betty that Wayne was a big drinker and that he hung out at the Seven Points Bar and would like intentionally bump into people just to start a fight. So this is Wayne. But so Wayne's a also
douchebag.
Wayne is a good worker and a stand-up employee,
but a piece of shit on the weekends.
Yes.
And at night.
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. So they divorced in January of 1980. Remember, married in October of 79.
Yeah.
Divorced January of 1980. But not long after they got divorced, Betty got in a really bad car accident and she almost died from head injuries that she got during the accident. She suffered a basilar skull fracture, which that involves at least one of the bones at the base of your skull, because there's like three bones that connect down there, the base, basilar.
Yeah.
Hence the yes. And she also suffered from lacerations and a cerebral contusion. And a cerebral contusion has been described as a clinical syndrome characterized by immediate and transient post-traumatic impairment of neural function, such as alteration in consciousness or disturbance of vision or equilibrium, signs and symptoms due to brainstem involvement. So it's pretty serious.
So can you put that in English for me? Because when I did my disturbing fact, I left a lot of the sciencey words out of it.
Okay. So it means that, like, she has brainstem injury, so it can cause her to maybe pass out. It can cause blurry vision. Her equilibrium can be off, so it's affecting her ears, affecting your eyes.
Okay, so it's really fucked with her, a lot of her voluntary
yes.
functions.
Yes, it fucks you up. Okay. Involuntary.
Or involuntary, yes, sorry.
Involuntary, because it's brainstem. So anyway, right. Yeah, that's science, unsciency.
Thank you.
All right. So as a result of the accident, the migraines that she had suffered as a child returned and her hearing loss worsened. So at this point, she's forced to wear hearing aids. And, you know, she's vain as fuck. So
yeah.
She doesn't want to wear hearing aids. She's like always wearing her hair down and like putting it over her ears and stuff.
Right. Styling her hair on top of so you can't see them.
Yes, exactly. And Wayne came to her after the accident and he begged her to take him back and that he had changed and he was sorry for all of their problems. And she agreed to take him back and they got married the next year.
Okay. So they spent a whole another year before they got married again.
Yeah. But it sounds like from the accident that she probably had a lot of recovery time, I'm guessing. If you have a skull okay. fracture and brainstem injury,
yeah,
you're probably not like back at work the next day.
Remember when I got into my car accident and my skull went out of line?
Ugh. Yeah. Well, that's because your skull's all like in pieces. It's not one giant
I know.
Thing. Anyway.
That was crazy.
That was crazy.
And that's crazy that that happened to her. And like a part of me wants to be like, I feel bad. But I know obviously she's called the Black Widow of Texas. Granted, we haven't gotten to any death yet. So maybe this just amplified everything.
Well, and that's what I think, too, because remember, her mom was like in and out of mental institutions and her kids are like explaining her as being like this Jekyll and Hyde kind of personality. And yeah. then now she has
a TBI on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, here we go.
Strap in, kids.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No kids should be listening.
No kids should be listening. Betty loved the time that they had spent at Cedar Creek Lake, which is where, remember, they had hung the out boss. With Jerry's family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she told Wayne that this was the area that she wanted to live in. And they agreed that Betty would buy a densely wooded half acre lot and that Wayne would buy a brand new 2-bedroom trailer that Betty had had her eye on. Right. So they both spent about $8,800 and she got the land. He got the trailer and together she had her dream spot and a brand new home.
Okay.
So she's like, things are good.
Yeah, that's cheap.
Right? It's 1980.
Well, I wonder what that is with inflation today.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I don't know the area. But typically, Texas has been pretty cheap until recently.
Texas is still pretty cheap.
Yeah. Comparatively to other.
Comparatively, yes.
Yeah, because like when we used to watch Chip and Joanna all the time, and they'd be like, okay, so you want a 9,000 square foot, and we have to totally rip it down and redo everything, and your budget is $34,000. Oh, we're totally going to be able to do that. It's like, what the fuck? Fucking carpet. Garage here, yeah. For $34,000.
Right. You can't even buy a freaking carpet.
Right.
And get it installed and all that in a single bedroom for that price.
Right.
And this is not a 9,000 square foot bedroom.
No. Nope. So they're living the dream. They got their spot. They got their house. And at night, they spent their time at Seven Points, which is one of the few areas that allowed liquor near the lake in the, you know, in the area, because it's a dry county where they live. So there's no alcohol allowed. But like in this one little section is where the party section is. And like, obviously, it's super popular, right?
Because
people want to vote down alcohol, but they want to drink. So they go to where they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Of course.
So the couple did really well at first because, you know,
living the dream. Because they're making it work. They're living the dream.
Yes.
He agreed to change. Tigers always change their stripes, especially the sexy ones.
For sure. For sure. And they kept their close relationship with Jerry's family because obviously Wayne's a great worker. He's the lead roofer working for Jerry. So, and they live close. So Betty would drop Wayne off at 5 o'clock in the morning every morning. And then Jerry would give him a ride back home after work.
Okay.
So, because apparently they only had one car, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Or they wanted to save on gas. I don't know.
Or they're in such close proximity, it was fine.
Yeah. Something along those lines. So Wayne wanted to spend time with his sons from his previous marriage. Betty, of course, resented his time away from her and time spent with the boys. And Wayne had the boys over a couple of times because he like wanted them for the whole weekend. But the tension was like so high in the house that he decided it was like better to just meet them out of the house.
God, and what a jealous.
Yeah. Well, she's like, I don't know.
And she's possessive.
She's possessive and she wants things her way. And she also kind of, it seems like she, I don't know, like
he had a life before you. It's still a part of his life.
Yeah.
Let it go.
She like, it seems like in a way that, I don't know, she just wants to control things because she wants to hang out with Jerry's family and she wants Bobby to be friends with that kid. But she doesn't like, why can't Bobby be friends with these kids? You know what I mean? So I don't get it. It's Betty's the drama is what I'm getting at.
She is the drama.
This caused problems in their relationship because obviously he wants to spend time with his kids. And she's like, yeah, no, that's not cool. Go to McDonald's and see him. Spend 20 minutes with them and then get your ass back home.
Right. You can go enjoy a Big Mac with them.
Right.
Yeah. And then you need to be back.
Right. So Wayne began slapping Betty around again. And her kids told him to leave that her kids told her that she should leave him. And she simply said, quote, let me handle this in my own way.
Oh, great.
Yes. So in October of 1981, Shirley went to see her mom and the two sat. So Shirley's like the
middle-ish.
Yeah, because it's Faye, Connie, Shirley, Robbie, and Bobby.
There's one more that goes there.
There's one in the middle. There's another one.
Phyllis, Philip.
Phyllis, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
I feel like it's like a sounding. Yeah. It's not Faye.
Faye, Connie, Shirley. Anyway. So
sorry.
It's okay because I lost track as well.
Oh, I was apologizing for the our disrespect for getting one of the kids' names.
Well.
But Betty probably didn't remember it either. So
whatever. I was going to say, to be fair, she only ever says she has one kid.
Yeah, and it's Bobby.
Yes, it's Bobby. So she went to hang out with her mom, and Betty had started a bonfire from, like, branches, because remember, she lives in a heavily wooded, on a heavily wooded lot. So they'd started a bonfire, and were just hanging out by the fire, drinking. And Shirley brought up the topic of Wayne and the way that he treated Betty, and she asked her mother, she's like, hey, what's your plan? Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And Betty's response was, I'm just going to kill him.
Oh.
And Shirley basically was like, oh, don't be silly. You just need to get out of the relationship before he really hurts you. Like,
hey, don't be silly. You don't need to kill him.
Well, she thinks her mom's joking. She's right. Like, don't be silly. Like, what are you really going to do here? Because you got to get out before something really happens.
I don't
want to
hear jokes. I just want to know your exit plan.
Right. And Betty responded by saying she didn't want to put up with Wayne's shit anymore, but she couldn't divorce him because the trailer was in his name. And if she divorced him, she'd be stuck with an empty lot and nowhere to live. And so Shirley was like, hey, why don't you take out a restraining order and save up that money that you make from working at the Cedar Club, because you make really good tips as a barmaid, because again, it's like the only place where you can go drink.
Right. In this town.
Lake area. I mean, yeah. The lake area, you know, you think of it as like, not only do people live there, but people go there to recreate.
Yeah, so I was going to say it's recreational drinking.
Yes,
but exactly. They can't do it anywhere but there.
Right. So Okay. She's got to be making good money, right? Ish. Good money-ish.
Good money-ish.
Right. So Betty was worried that if she filed a restraining order against Wayne, since the trailer's in his name, that she'd have to go from the trailer and that Wayne would get to live in the trailer, right?
Yes.
So she didn't want that because it was her dream trailer. It was the one she picked. It was decorated exactly how she wanted it to be decorated. The control freak. Yeah. It was her place. Like, she wanted that to be her place.
Yeah.
You know, like, plus or minus Wayne, it's hers. And she wants it to be hers. And Shirley was like, dude, you can't really actually, like, kill him. Like, what if you get caught?
Let's reenact this conversation. Okay. So what are you going to do, Mom?
I'm going to kill him.
Oh, stop being silly.
I'm not being silly. I need my fucking trailer and he's going to get it.
Okay, but like, really, what is your plan? Because I think you're just being so silly.
I'm going to kill him.
Okay, end scene.
End scene. She's like, dude, you're going to get caught. What if you get caught?
And oh, wait, okay. Well, now we have to go back. Pick back up scene. Mom, that's so crazy. What are you thinking? What if you get caught?
I'm not going to get caught. I have everything planned out, every detail.
Okay, but what if you do get caught? Because, you know, at one point you did attempt to kill someone else.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to get caught because that was like in the heat of the moment and like me shooting the one husband and then me trying to run over the other husband. Those were not planned. That was just like impromptu shit. Now I have a plan.
Oh, so because you're premeditating it, you're not going to get caught.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
End scene.
Yeah, that was weird.
So Betty was like, I'm not going to get caught because I've thought of every single detail as we just reenacted. But the others were just like, on a whim, and this is like,
yeah,
you know, she's got it planned out.
She was real impulsive with the first two attempts.
Right. So she pointed to the overlook that's on her property, and it had a fresh mound of dirt that had just been dug up. And Shirley was like, she told Shirley, that's where he'll be after I kill him. And Shirley was like, you dug that yourself? Because it's like this big, deep hole, right? And she told her that she had sweet-talked a construction worker who'd been working on the street a block over and asked him to dig her a hole for the barbecue pit that she was building.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Yeah. So she gave the dude $20 and a cold beer to dig the hole. And Shirley's like, well, wait, now somebody knows that you dug this giant hole on your property. Like,
kind of acting recklessly and stupid there, Mom.
Right. And she's like, oh, well, he's not smart enough to figure it out. Like, he's not the type of guy to put two and two together. So
this construction worker that she's known for 5 whole minutes, mm-hmm, while she gave him $20 and he dug a hole.
Right. Well, and basically she's like, and I left this out, but I'm just going to say that she was like, kind of like the guy wanted like sex when he came over to dig the hole and the cold beer. And I mean, you know what I mean? And yeah, she's like, no, I'm not, you know, like, here's $20. Here's a beer. I'm married, whatever. And so she was like, if he like threatens or says he's going to say anything, then I'll just have sex with him and
he'll be fine.
Yeah. Cause I'm so,
all he wanted awesome was sex. And so if I just have sex with him, then all will be squared away. Yes. Because I'm just the most incredible creature, sexy tiger there ever was.
Exactly.
And she's, everyone just wants my sex. And so I'll be okay.
Yes. She's that good that she can get away with murder by just boning a construction worker.
She's that much of a sexy tiger.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Rare. So, but Betty needs Shirley's help, right?
Oh, so now she's including her daughter in the yes plan. Oh, this isn't going
to
be nice.
So Betty brought Bobby.
She's like, you're not good enough to be introduced to anyone, but I'm going to need your help taking them out. Right?
I don't claim you as my child, but in this instance, I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, daughter, will you help me?
Right. Hey, my sweet, loving angel baby daughter. So you weren't the one who tried to steal the last one.
Right. You kept your robe on. So Betty brought Bobby to Shirley's house, allegedly, and headed back to her trailer. And Shirley really wanted to believe that her mother wasn't capable of murder and that she would change her mind. But she's the Black Widow of Texas, so that's not how this is going to play out.
Right. We already know that, however this is unfolding.
Right.
It's not in favor of Wayne.
Not in favor of Betty changing her mind and Wayne getting to live.
Yeah, it's not in favor of Wayne's life.
It is not. So Betty waited for Wayne to fall asleep and she heard him like snoring. And so she grabbed her 38 caliber pistol, which she's up from a 22 to a 38. And she always keeps it loaded, right? Because you just never know when you might have to shoot someone.
Okay. Fair.
Well, really, honestly.
I mean, what really are you going to do? Never know when someone's going to threaten to kill you and you shoot them in the back when they're walking away. And they've done that so many times. I know. I keep it loaded personally.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm so upgraded. So she now I want a .39.
Oh my gosh. Fucking a .39. Back to the demise of Wayne. She climbed into bed with Wayne after she had a couple of shots of Jim Beam whiskey. Because she's
a couple shots in the back. No,
she has to get her liquid courage up before she can kill her husband, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Like, naturally.
And then she's like,
thinking, she was doing this at home?
Yeah.
I thought she was only allowed to drink at the club.
I'm sure you can drink in your own property. It's just like going somewhere out and being able to be served alcohol.
Okay.
Or like there's no liquor stores anywhere else, but you can go to the liquor store and buy something and take it home.
Okay. Gotcha.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Got me.
Got you.
Picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah. Always.
No.
Yeah. I just bent over and grabbed it.
This time. But then she's like, well, fuck, what if the neighbors are light sleepers or something?
Oh my God. Now she's thinking something ahead of this as opposed to keeping the gun loaded.
So she decides to use her pillow as a silencer. So she puts the pillow up against the back of Wayne's head and she pulls the trigger. And the sound was still so fucking loud that it echoed through the trailer like it was fired into a tin can. And Wayne's body jerked. And she realized that the pillow had only just thrown off her aim. It hadn't really stopped the fucking sound or like done anything. All it did was just like fuck up the trajectory of the bullet. Yeah. So she's like, oh fuck. And Wayne let out a sharp moan. Betty was like, oh fuck, I just woke him up. So she fired the gun again and Wayne's body then stiffened and relaxed. And then she's fired a third time just to be on the safe side, but he was really dead.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But can you imagine in a trailer and you're shooting a 38 caliber gun and oh my God, it'd be so fucking loud. And if you had a 39, it'd even be loud.
Yeah, my 39's pretty loud. No, that's wacko.
The bed was wet with Wayne's blood and the room smelled of gunpowder. She feels Wayne's neck to make sure that he doesn't have a pulse and there isn't any. She's like, okay, I'm good to go. Her nightgown was soaked in blood and blood covered the sheets and splattered on the walls and dribbled down the headboard and pooled on the floor. So wait,
the first time she shot him, where did she shoot him? If the
in the back of the head. She still got him in the back of the head, but like I feel like it probably didn't go like how she wanted to go. Like I'm pointing like you guys can see. But like if you go straight in the back of someone's head, most likely you're going to kill them right then and there because the brainstem. Yeah. But if the bullet was off by the trajectory of the bullet's off because of the pillow,
like through the jaw, almost.
Maybe it went somewhere where it's just going to obviously he's like, oh, fuck, I've been shot. He didn't say it, but he moaned and he was still alive.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a kill shot.
Right.
Right. So she shot him three times. It's made a mess. So she went to the bathroom and she washed up and she, you know, felt zero fucking remorse for killing Wayne.
For whatever reason, I don't feel surprised by that.
Right. She felt relieved to be rid of him. And now she knew that nobody was going to take her precious trailer from her. And she can keep her refrigerator.
Refrigerator in the trailer. Yeah. With the roof.
With the roof. So she goes to the closet and she pulls out two sheets of green plastic that had been, she'd ordered this new chair. And when the chair came, it was wrapped in green plastic and she'd saved the plastic for just in case, I guess. Just in case.
Just in case I kill someone and I need something to put all the bloodied things in.
Right. Just in the event of a murder that I need to wrap a body. I'm surprised
she didn't wrap the whole room before she did it. She didn't
dexter it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she was kind of surprised by the mess that it made. Honestly. So she tried to tuck the plastic under Wayne so his blood would stop seeping into the sheets and into the mattress because, you know, it's all about Betty.
Yeah.
And she grabbed a blue canvas sleeping bag and she fully like unzipped the sleeping bag. So it's not like a mummy bag. It's like one of those rectangular ones that unzips all the way and you can open it big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she unzips it and she slowly rolls Wayne's body up into it and in the plastic. And guess what? He's a lot heavier than she thought he would be. Because remember, she's tiny.
And he's literal dead weight at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's tiny.
Literally.
And he's a big, strong, muscular roofer. And he's dead weight. Yeah. And she's tiny and little. So she like gets him on the floor and she's like, well, fuck, now what am I going to do? So she cleans out enough space in her closet to get Wayne's body in there. And then she shoves him far enough back in the closet so she can close the door. Right. So in case like Bobby or whatever, somebody comes, like they're not going to find his dead body wrapped up in the sleeping bag
in a closet.
Well, they are less likely to find it in the closet than just on the bed.
Yeah. Right?
So she spent the most of the rest of the night cleaning and scrubbing Wayne's blood off of everything and doing laundry, as one does after you murder someone.
Yeah. She's like, oh, let me just get the blood soak out of my sheets.
Right. And my nighties all bloody. Oh, what a pain. And when she was done, she took a shower and then she fell sound asleep.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's something.
Yeah, that's like so unsexy tiger of her.
That's the least sexiest tiger ever.
Yeah, that's the least sexy tiger I've ever seen her be.
So the next day when Shirley woke up, she was surprised to see that Betty was laying on her couch in her living room. And she announced to Shirley that she had done exactly what she said she was going to do. And Shirley,
oh, God, she just like fucking told her. She's like, yeah, by the way, I went through with my plans.
Mm-hmm. And Shirley just couldn't believe how like nonchalant Betty was about it. Shirley herself was in shock, you know. And then Betty went on to describe in every detail how everything went down, right down to how hard it was to shove him into the sleeping bag and into the closet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, wow. That's some parenting.
Jeez.
I know we're close, but if I do that, I'm not going to tell you about it.
Yeah. And if you do that, I'm not going to be like, ha, 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 mom, you're so goofy. Tell me what your real plan is. Mom, you're so silly.
I have a 39 you can borrow.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, bitch, what the fuck?
Right. You're crazy. So Shirley felt like in some weird way, if she didn't help her mom get the body out of the house and into the hole that Betty had,
oh my
had the
God, construction worker dig, help her? Fuck.
She'd be more likely to get caught.
Oh, my God.
So, like, Shirley's like, fuck, I don't want to help her, but, like, I feel, like, obligated to, right? And so she helped. She offered,
gave birth to me, even though I've never met this man because right? I wasn't good enough to meet him. You know, I guess I'll help her bury his body.
So she offered to help move the body, even though it was, like, the last thing she wanted to do. And because she already felt tangled up just knowing about the murder and didn't do anything to stop it. So I guess she's like, well, fuck, I better figure out how to help my mom get rid of this body without getting caught, because oh she God. Gets caught, I could be in trouble too. I don't know if that's what she's thinking, but you know, she's definitely
the reality
thinking,
of the situation.
Yeah,
is
like, I should help my mom. So Betty, with little hesitation, accepted Shirley's offer to help. And then she warned her not to tell a soul. She's like, don't tell your boyfriend, don't tell your siblings, don't tell anybody, because murder is the kind of thing that you want to keep secret.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Still not sure why, you know, Betty told her in the first place.
Because she needed help.
Murder's
the
kind of thing you want to keep secret. I don't know if she's that fucking Wiley. Thinks that highly of herself. She should have called her construction buddy. Been like, hey, I know these sheets are covered in blood. Don't mind it. Let's get in there right now. Let's go to town real quick. Oh, you wonder what's in this sleeping bag I'm burying? I don't know. We can go back to bed, though, in a minute.
Right. It'd just be super great if you helped me drag it to that hole that you dug for me. And then I'll give you a little huff and puff for the road.
Oh, my God. Huff and puff.
I don't know what else to say.
She's like, I'm just such a sexy tiger meow that I can get anyone and everyone I want. So this construction guy should come back and help me.
Right.
And he definitely won't tattle because I'll just sleep with him.
Yes.
And if he does, that whole explain enough for two bodies.
So Betty told Shirley to tell Larry, that's Shirley's boyfriend, that Betty and Wayne had gotten into a big old fight and that she was scared shitless of him because everybody knows that he's already beating her, right?
Yeah.
And she didn't want to be alone in case he came home. And so she told her to come over that night after dinner and after it was dark.
Right.
And they'd stick him in the ground. And then she also wanted to get some cinder blocks and build a patio so it didn't A, look like a grave, and B, to keep the neighborhood dogs from digging him up.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even think about that. That's not even anything that crossed my mind.
Yeah, well, Betty's a planner, Daphne.
Yeah, she's a planner. I'm not. I haven't personally had to execute this yet in my life. So I'll note Betty's actions. Yes. And how not to get caught.
Right, because you think about it. I mean, these dogs are running around loose. They're going to, you know.
Right, and a half acre is not huge.
No, it is not huge. It's nice size, though, but not huge. So after dinner, Shirley went to Betty's trailer, and they built another bonfire, and they're drinking white Russians, which, yum, except for I'm lactose intolerant, but we have our lactose-free milk. But anyway.
Yeah, I love a white Russian.
Yeah, me too. Love a good white Russian. And then follow that off by burying a body, but no, haven't had that part of it. So after they were sufficiently buzzed, they got Wayne's body out of the house and proceeded to drag him up to the grave and bury him. And then they went back to the house and got, like, well, drunk. They got plastered, which that I could see.
Yeah.
After you bury a body, you might want to get hammered.
Yeah, so I would probably agree with that.
The next morning, Shirley was surprised to see Betty looking perfect, and she's all made up like she normally is and not a care in the world. And she said, hey, let's go grab those cinder blocks.
Oh, my God.
So at 5 o'clock on Monday.
Wait, I have a question. I'm sorry. Whose car, who has the title of this car that they shared?
Well,
was it Wayne's or was it hers?
It's Wayne's, I think. And I don't know if she has a car, but definitely to go get the cinder blocks, she's got to use the truck, which is Wayne's truck.
Okay.
So at 5 a.m. on Monday morning, Betty called Jerry because he'd be expecting Wayne to show up, right? So she told Jerry that Wayne had run off. She told him that they got in, like, this big, huge fight and that he said he was going to leave and go get some cigarettes and that she hadn't seen him since.
Okay.
So
and is he buying this?
Jerry was shocked. Guys like Wayne didn't just run off. He was a responsible worker and he was in charge of a big crew. And Jerry had been expecting him because they were starting a really big fucking job that day, that Monday. And he asked Betty if he said where he was going and if there was any way that he could get a hold of him, get in contact with him because he really needed him for work. And Betty's like, dude, I have no fucking idea. Like, we got into it. He took off. I haven't seen him.
Right. And don't know where he is. Sorry about it.
Right. So Jerry, thinking about how responsible Wayne is and, like, his work-wise. And he probably doesn't know that he's getting hammered and starting fights. Although it's a small community, so maybe he does. I don't know. But anyway, he's a responsible worker. So after 3 days of Wayne not showing up, not coming back, whatever.
Where's Bobby?
Well, he's there, but he's not, like, you know, he's going to school. He's just living his life. She probably just told him the same thing. Oh, we got into a fight and he's gone. Yeah.
Okay.
So he went to their trailer and he was so relieved when he got there to see Wayne's truck in the driveway. And he went up to the door and he was like, oh, cool. Thank God Wayne's back because I really need him for work. And Betty's like, what are you talking about? I told you he got mad and he left. And Jerry was like, well, I never heard of a man running off without his truck. And Betty, like, had zero answers for that, right?
Yeah.
She's like, dude, he's gone. He didn't take his truck. And that's it. Like, I don't fucking know anything else. Like, be gone. Like, she wouldn't let him in the house. She just kept him on the porch. She's like,
I'm over you. I'm over right. Your friend.
Fuck off.
Be gone.
Right. The truck's here. He's not. You go. So Jerry's, like, super confused, right?
Don't look in that hole.
Right. Don't go check out that new patio I just built. But Betty showed up at Jerry's on Friday to pick up Wayne's paycheck.
Oh my God. Of course she did. That's right. Not sus.
That's not sus at all. No. So fast forward, not too far. It didn't take long for Betty to meet Jimmy Don Beats.
Oh, this is the one who gave her her last name.
Yes. And he came into the Cedar Club while Betty was working and he wanted to buy her a drink, but she declined because she's not allowed to fraternize with the customers. But after some playful flirting, Betty found out that Jimmy Don was with the Dallas Fire Department and he was a 26-year veteran of the fire department, right? So he's 4 years to go before he's going to retire.
Okay.
Have a pension, the whole nine, right? So Jimmy Don had one child, James Don Beats III, who went by Jamie. The only day that Jimmy Don had ever missed a shift at the fire department was the day that Jamie was born.
Aww.
And 3 years after Jamie was born, the couple had another son who sadly only lived for 5 hours after being born and then he died.
Aww.
And then 2 years after that, they had a daughter who was a stillborn.
Oh,
so yeah, that's not great for a marriage. So Jimmy Don started like drinking more, and Charlene, who was his wife at the time, didn't like the time that he spent away from her and Jamie and drinking after his shifts. And they divorced just after Jamie turned nine. Yeah. And the divorce like super devastated Jamie, and somehow like he thought it was his fault because he's nine and 9 year olds will think that sometimes.
Yeah.
So and then Jimmy Don already knows this chick, but he's like, they both are in relationship, blah, 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 whatever. So he ends up marrying this girl, this woman. So Jimmy Don marries this woman named Susie not too long after his divorce from Charlene. And so like,
that's going to make Charlene feel great.
Well, it seems like he's also like Betty, the like, I don't want to be alone person.
Moves on really quickly.
Right. And so Charlene, you know, is like, well, okay, cool. He's married to Susie now. She had been married once before, but she didn't have any kids, Susie. And she loved Jamie and Jamie loved Susie. And like, they were just like this little family unit. Right. But
right.
He lives with his mom and he comes and stays there and, you know, back yeah. and forth, whatever. So Jamie graduated from high school in just 3 years, and Jimmy Don and Susie were so proud of him that they bought him a car. And I'm giving you backstory on Jimmy Don because I just want you to like
get the picture of who he is.
And it's intertwined with the how things play out later.
Okay. I got you.
This is where I'm like, God, did I give too much information? But no, like inquiring minds want to know and you need to know.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell me more about his relationship with Susie.
Okay. Well, Susie and him are great. So they were really proud of him and they bought him a car and told him that he could have the summer off. Like he didn't have to get a job or anything because he'd worked so hard to graduate in 3 years. And that was a huge mistake because with a ton of free time on his hands, Jamie started smoking weed and hanging out with the wrong crowd.
Right.
And he became lazy and like he was physically unkempt. Like he had long hair. His clothes were messy. And it drove a wedge between Jimmy Don and Jamie because Jimmy Don, not only being part of the fire department, but he was also a Korean War veteran. And so he's like very keeps his shit tight.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
straight and narrow.
Yeah. Straight and narrow, except for the drinking. But that's legal. That's, so, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
So because of all the heated arguments of how to handle Jamie, Susie and Jimmy Don divorced after 14 years of marriage. So they were together for a long time.
Yeah.
And after Susie, Jimmy Don, obviously craving companionship, rushed into another marriage and then was quickly divorced.
Okay.
Okay. Susie and Jimmy Don met up several times after that divorce after Susie and even seriously began about talking about like getting back together.
Yeah.
But then enter Betty Lou Barker.
Yep. I was going to say I guess she's not really home wrecking.
No, she's not home wrecking.
She's just,
but too bad he just didn't marry Susie again.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't be here. So Betty and Jimmy Don started dating and Betty was impressed or like drawn to him or however you want to look at him. The fact that he's like so put together. He has a great job. He had a nice house by the lake and he had a boat and Jimmy Don was popular in his neighborhood. And he and Susie, because they had lived there in that lake house, had a close circle of friends within the neighborhood. And like they were kind of known as like the house to like host the parties and stuff like that. So when Jimmy Don took Betty to his house to go boating, the neighbors like quickly came over to meet the latest woman that Jimmy Don was dating, their little bachelor neighbor, you know?
Right.
And they told her what kind of person he was. He had a small heart attack after laying a concrete driveway for a neighbor who was blind. And while he was recovering from the heart attack, he went over to that same neighbor's house and he fixed the screen door.
So he's like solid, really good stand-up human being.
Right. So this is the kind of guy he is.
Better than the first guy. The second guy. Totally skipping on his name. The one who shot in the back twice.
Billy York Lane. Billy.
Okay.
Yeah. That one. And then Ronnie. Who Ronnie seemed like a stand-up dude until they got married. And then he was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to be married. I want to like fuck other chicks and go out.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he wanted the wife without the commitment.
Right. Betty was on her best behavior and she went to work on Jimmy Don pretty quickly. And he told her that she was the most positive person that he'd ever met.
Oh.
And she was supporting herself and she never complained about how hard she worked. And from the first date, Jimmy Don just fell in love with her.
Aww.
I know, except poor Jimmy Don.
Yeah.
After about a month of dating, Jimmy Don pretty much moved in with Betty. And she obviously felt out of place with his neighbors and his group of friends. And he didn't want to put Betty in that position. So he removed her from and himself from it. So again, it's this like control thing. Like she's like not being rude, but she's like when they're trying to come over and hang out, she's like, hey, we're going to go boating. We got to go. When before it was like with Susie, she'd be like, hey, we're going to get on the boat. Why don't you guys come with us?
Right. Why don't you come join us?
Right.
And we Betty's can all like, hang out together.
Right.
She's like, no, this is our time. Sorry. Bye.
Right. Exactly. So she's like, got to go. But he considers that to be like, she's just uncomfortable, like a fish out of water with these people. And yeah. So he wants to like protect her from that.
He just wants her to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he's probably also seeing it like, oh, maybe she just wants my time. Like she doesn't want to hang out with other people, just me.
Right. So he knew that he'd found the woman that he wanted to spend his retirement years with. And he's going to retire in 4 years, right?
Yeah.
This is the girl he wants, the woman he wants. So Jimmy Don took Betty to meet Jamie, who's his son, remember?
Right.
And his wife and his grandchildren, because Jamie's married and has two kids at this point. And the couple talked about their future together, and Jamie became like more distant while they were talking. And he waited till the next visit when his dad came alone to see the grandkids to tell him that he didn't like Betty. And he thought she was a manipulative, self-centered bitch. And Jimmy Don was like, whoa, he was so shocked. And he's like, dude, I'm sorry, but like, that's your opinion. But I love her and I'm going to marry
her. Right. That's your stepmom now. So you better shut the fuck up.
Right. So.
Oh, God. Well, I wish parents would or children would listen to parents once in a while.
Once in a while.
Not on everything. Not everything needs to be. But, you know, it's like, hey, I've seen you in a really beautiful relationship. I don't think this is going to be it.
Right. Like, he can definitely see Betty for what she is.
Yeah.
And maybe other people could, too. But maybe that's why she kind of pulls him away from the other people. She's
isolating him.
Yeah. That might be like,
yeah.
I'm not so sure about this one. I'm not so sure about this sexy tiger.
This sexy tiger ain't the one.
Right. She might be real sexy, but she's also a tiger ready to pounce.
Yeah. So, sexy tigers also need to eat.
Yes, they do. When Jimmy Don heard about Wayne, quote, leaving Betty, he told her that he just couldn't understand why any man would leave her. And Betty told him after Wayne had been gone for a while that she filed for a divorce and charged him with desertion, and Wayne didn't contest. Isn't that weird?
It's probably really hard to get mail from under a porch, though.
Well, when you... That is true. But when you are getting divorced like that, they have to post it, put it in the paper and stuff. And so that people can, like, if you don't read the paper, somebody can be like, hey,
your wife filed.
Yeah.
Like, you might either want to do something about this or not, and nobody came forward.
Right. That they had seen nothing him. Happened.
Yeah.
Which, again, well, when you're probably, buried under a patio up on a hill.
Yeah, it's probably hard to find you.
Right. Like, you're probably not reading the paper and nobody's probably relaying that information to you.
Right.
So on August 2nd, 1982, Jimmy Don and Betty were married. And I believe that they also went to Dallas.
Okay.
To get married.
So it's just like the place to be.
It's the place to get married. Very shortly after the marriage, Betty started criticizing Jimmy Don's generosity with Jamie. Jamie, who was in and out of work and frequently went to his dad for money, and Jimmy Don not wanting to see his grandkids go without, gave Jamie money like pretty on a pretty regular basis.
Well, it's not her fucking business. That's his kid.
Right. It is his kid. But Betty's a manipulative, self-centered bitch.
Right. It just is not her business.
Yeah. But if you're a manipulative, self-centered bitch, you make it your business.
Yeah.
Yes. So once Betty found out that Jimmy Don gave thousands of dollars a year, she was like, no, I'm not having this. Like, you're kind of cutting into my money.
Right. We're not doing this.
Yeah. Like, I'm putting a stop to this bullshit. So Betty convinced Jimmy Don to ask Jamie to come over to their trailer. And she pretty much like scripted everything that Jimmy Don was going to say to Jamie. And
well, yeah, she's fucking writing out the conversation that his end of the conversation that he's going to have.
I don't know. If
she's like is making a chart. She's like, OK, so this is how you're opening. And then this could branch off one of two ways. If it's a yes, you'll respond with this.
To the fucking whiteboard.
Yeah. If it's no, you'll respond with this. And whatever happens, now there's three possible outcomes for each of these. And I'm going to write you each possible outcome. And we're going to have one freebie.
But you know how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
So don't be fucking going off on the rails on your freebie.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. here we are with her dry erase board and her notes. So Jamie comes over and he told Jamie that Betty had convinced him that he needed to grow up and be more responsible. So, I mean, Jamie's got to be like fuming, right? Because he already doesn't like Betty. He thinks she's a self-centered bitch.
Okay, now I know where this is coming from.
Right. He's like, Betty has convinced me, like, okay, cool. Like, again, take a hike, sexy tiger.
Wait, okay. So did Betty know that Jamie felt this way about her? Or maybe she interpreted
sensed it
after some point.
Yeah, I'm sure Jimmy Don wasn't like, oh my God, my son thinks you're a self-centered, manipulative bitch or manipulative, self-centered bitch. But no, I'm sure it was just like an inference in their exchanges.
Yeah, she just picked up on it.
Yeah, because like I said, he was distant when she was around and
he wasn't warm and welcoming to her.
He didn't have that warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah.
No. So Jamie needs to be more responsible. He's 25 years old. He has a wife and kids to support, and he just needs to get his shit together, and Jimmy Don's not going to give him any money anymore. And he went on to say that he and Betty had decided that he could live at the lake house that Jimmy Don had lived in with Susie, right? And that he would have to pay Jimmy Don rent and utilities, but he could live there. And he also told them, the only thing I want from you is just to see my grandkids. Like, I don't want a relationship with you anymore. I want you to pay your rent, pay the bills that are incurred with that place. And I want to see my grandkids and that's it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, she's something.
So her flow chart's paying off for her.
Yeah, her flow chart definitely has a circle and there's no room for
ad lib.
No ad libbing, no insertion of other instructions.
Right.
Yeah, it's just to the point.
What's the word I'm looking for? No improv.
There you go. So Christmas of 1982 rolls around and Jimmy Don and Betty celebrated their first Christmas together as husband and wife. And Jamie avoided them by taking his family to his wife's mother's house in Salina, Texas. On December 28th, Jamie and his family were still out of town and Jimmy Don was in Dallas working his shift at the firehouse because he works in Dallas at the firehouse and he works 3 days on and 3 days off. So that's okay. Like he's gone for 3 days, back for 3 days, gone for 3 days, blah, blah, blah. So on and so forth and what have you not.
Yes.
Yes. So they're out of town. He's out of town. And neighbors see smoke pouring out of the lake house where Jamie lived with his family. And they called the fire department right away. And they rushed over to the house to grab the hose that was always hooked up outside the house and found that somebody had shut the water off.
Huh.
So
she's purposely burning down this house.
Well,
premeditatedly.
I believe that's
supposedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. And it's not even like just the hose is disconnected from the spigot. It's like they go to turn on the spigot and no water comes out. Like somewhere somebody's turned off like the main water shut off.
Yeah.
So
that's really really suspicious there, yeah. Buddy.
She's just something.
You're not being a smart, sexy tiger.
No. No. No, no, no. Yeah. Although this somehow
went over his head.
Yeah. So in the spring of 1983, Betty insisted that Jimmy Don build a shed to store his fishing gear and his tools in. But she wanted the shed built over the patio made of cinder blocks because it had kind of begun sagging a little bit.
Huh.
Right? Maybe decomposition.
Does it matter that's under there? Is it solid anymore?
Right? Jimmy Don told Betty that it wasn't a good spot because there might be a water problem there, which is might be why the patio is like sinking. And that not only that, but they'd also have to move the butane tank, which would be kind of expensive. And the butane tank is their source for hot water and the stove and,
yeah,
you know, it's
anything heated.
Yeah. Anything that requires butane, which they're obviously on butane. Not propane or gas.
Butane.
Yes. What did I say? Brotane?
I thought you were going to say something totally off the rails. I don't know what you were going to say.
Yeah, because I was going to combine butane and propane.
Yes. They're on brotane.
Crap.
I like brotane.
Thank you. So Betty.
Not protane, brotane.
Brotane. But Betty was super insistent that that's where that tool shed needed to be built. And so Jimmy Don gave in and, you know, they moved the brotane tank. So then later on, this comes up, and this is like not too long after.
Yeah.
So Jackie Collins, who's also a famous novelist, but not in this case. Jackie Collins, who's Jimmy Don's niece, works at the JCPenney Insurance Company. And she was reviewing a $10,000 life insurance policy that just randomly flashed up on her computer screen, but it had her uncle's name on it. But when she went to like review the policy, his address was not the one that was on the policy.
It was Betty's, and she was the beneficiary.
Well, let me go. Let me keep going. So it wasn't his address on the application. The policy was already in force because the first premium had already been paid. And so she called her uncle and she's like, hey, did you take out a life insurance policy? And Jimmy Don's like, no. It's like, I already have life insurance through the fire department. Like, why would I take out more life insurance? And she responded by saying, well, there's a $10,000 life insurance policy here with your name on it. And the correspondence address is in Mesquite, Texas. So Jimmy Don, again, he's like, well, I have a $100,000 life insurance policy through the fire department and Betty's already the beneficiary. So I certainly don't need any more insurance, you know. And he hadn't taken out the policy and he didn't know anything about it. And so his niece drove the policy over to the fire station because Jimmy Don needed to sign it like in person to cancel it. And when Jimmy Don was looking at it, he was surprised to see that Betty was the beneficiary and the Mesquite address was Faye's. And of course, Faye didn't get any of their other mail. So weird that she would get the mail for this life insurance policy.
Oh, it was Faye's address? Mm-hmm. That's weird.
Yeah. Well, I'm probably unbeknownst to Faye, I'm guessing. But
yeah,
you know, or Betty was like, hey, I'm getting JCPenney stuff. I'm going to have it sent to your house.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
JCPenney, like the clothing store?
Well, it probably a subsidiary of it, or I don't know. It's the JCPenney insurance company. So I don't know.
Okay.
But so the next day he confronted Betty with a copy of the insurance policy and Betty just was all like confused. She's like, oh my God, what is that? Oh my God.
Did my daughter take out a life insurance policy?
I have no idea about that.
I've never seen that before in my life.
Betty looked at the policy and she's like, oh my God, I applied for a charge account at JCPenney and there was something like about insurance on it. But I thought that it was like in case I missed a payment that like the insurance would cover the payment. And Jimmy Don was like, oh, Betty, leave the business matters to me because obviously you just don't understand them.
Obviously, you're a silly, silly, silly little woman.
Right. You're a little blondie and you don't understand. But no, she's a manipulative, self-centered bitch who understands.
Yeah, she understands exactly what she's doing.
Yeah. So, of course, she understands finances. And she also knew that Jamie was still not paying rent before the house had burned down. And she also knew that Jimmy Don had gotten paid out by the insurance company a little healthy sum of money, but that Jimmy Don had done like most of the repairs and stuff on a lake house because it apparently hadn't totally burned down, that he had done the repairs and construction work and all of that on it. So she insisted that Jimmy Don have another come to Jesus conversation with Jamie because she didn't want any of the insurance money going to Jamie, even though Jamie lost like everything inside of the house that belonged to him and his family. Because, you know, obviously it's just another way to keep more of his money.
She's getting Jimmy Don to fuck over his own son.
Right. So it's just more of a way to like keep more of the money for herself and to drive more of a wedge between the father and son. Right.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Don gives Jamie a check for $850, which he's like, that'll cover probably everything that you own.
Right.
That's sad. But anyway, very sad. So during a trip Jimmy Don, Betty, and Bobby took to Virginia to visit Betty's family, Robbie had full run of the trailer while they were gone, and he trashed the place. Why are you smiling at me?
Robbie?
Yeah, because remember, there's Robbie and Bobby?
Yeah, but why is Robbie there?
He came back, because remember how I said that he wouldn't live with her again for 10 years? And I told you that I was leaving out some details, because there's a lot.
Yeah, well, that's why I was looking at you like that, because I was like, wait, Bobby is going to Virginia.
But Robbie's back.
Because I was like, yeah, because I remember in the first part you said that Robbie was like, when am I going to see you again, Mom? And she's like, I don't know.
Soon. But he had come to live with them.
Okay.
So Robbie's back.
So he's there now living.
Fast forward, Robbie's back in the picture.
But and that sounded not that last weekend was 10 years ago, but that sounds a lot longer than 10 years ago.
It was just 10 years.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's pretty busy.
This is, yeah, all happening in 10 years from the divorce.
Yeah, I believe so.
Jeez.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, we could go back and look, but I mean, it said that he didn't live with her again for 10 years. So I'm guessing.
Because I thought she was divorced at 28.
28, 29.
So like in under 15 years, this is all happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe he lived with her and Wayne. Like, I don't know. I didn't put it in there when he moved back.
Okay,
but gotcha. He was 18 when he moved
back. It's just a small detail. I was looking at you like that because it was like, whoa, when did he come back into the story?
When did Robbie come back?
Well, Robbie's right? It's back. Like, surely, like, when did she come back besides to help hide a body?
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. It's like, there's so many, like, this happens with this kid and this happens with this kid and this happens with this kid that they're part of her story, which is why I have the information, but it doesn't necessarily pertain to this story. So, like, if I tell you that...
It's part of her whole entire story, but not her...
Yeah. And this is, FYI, going to be 3 parts. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying not to make it 8 parts.
Robbie's back. Trying not to do a whole season on this.
Right.
Not that we have seasons anyway, but...
Okay, fast forward, Robbie's back. And they all have gone to Virginia for a visit.
Except for Robbie.
Yes. So, Jimmy, Dawn, Betty, and Bobby... went to go visit Betty's family in Virginia, and Robbie has full run of the trailer, and he, like, trashed the place because he's 18 or however old. He's young, right? He quit his job at the gas station, which left him a lot of free time. He found the keys to his younger brother Bobby's motorcycle and took it for a joyride, and he was going too fast, and he lost control, and he crashed it into a tree, and he took Betty's truck, and he went out mudding in it, and then he took out the boat, but he couldn't find the keys. So he just cut the ignition wires and spliced them back together and hotwired the boat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he so is Betty's son.
Yes. So Jimmy Dawn kept, except for she kind of cleans up after herself. He's not doing that.
A little bit messier about it.
Jimmy Dawn kept a large glass jar that was filled with coins on the dresser. And Robbie's, like, curious about it, right? It's like, why does he keep these coins? And so he dumped it out on the dresser and he sifted through the coins and he wasn't going to take anything. But he's just like, oh, what's in here? And he's like, oh, there's nothing fucking interesting in here. Why does he have these coins? But he just leaves the money all scattered out on the dresser.
Oh, see, I'm surprised he didn't go take it to the bank.
No, he left it, but he just left it where he dumped it, you know.
Instead of putting it back.
Yeah, and Betty, like, keeps her house perfectly clean, and he's, like, drinking Cokes and, you know, I mean, you know how when it's hot and things are cold and they sweat?
Yeah.
And he's leaving, like, fucking empty Coke cans with, like, rings, water rings, like, on her furniture and shit. Like,
yeah,
they're gone. It sounds like they're gone for, like, maybe a week, 10 days, maybe even 2 weeks. They're gone for enough time
for there to be stains and it to be horribly trashed.
Yes, exactly.
For mice and bugs to be able to get in there and tear shit up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Blech.
Yeah, it's fucking disgusting.
And they're in Texas, so it's humid.
Yeah.
So the afternoon when they returned from their trip, they saw all the damage and the mess and the coins that were spilled out, and Betty's pissed, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy Dawn goes and checks the boat and he sees the loose wires hanging out and he's pissed. So Betty told Robbie that he better pick up some extra shifts at the gas station so he can pay for everything. And he was like, oh, well, I quit my job because I was, like, tired of smelling like gas. So, oh. Yeah. So they're pissed. And 2 weeks went by.
She gonna off him next?
Two weeks went by before Betty or Jimmy Dawn would speak to Robbie again. And he was tired of the silent treatment and, like, trying to avoid everybody. And obviously he knew that he was the one that was in the wrong, right? He's the one that fucked up.
Yeah.
So he saw Jimmy Dawn working in the front yard with lumber and bricks. And he went out there and he's like, you know, hey, do you need some help? And Jimmy Dawn was like, yeah, you can unload those bricks from the truck. And then there they are. So Robbie's like, hey, what is all this for? And Jimmy Dawn said, your mother wants a wishing well. And after 3 days, the pair had finished building the wishing well. And it's fucking August or whatever in Texas, hot as fuck. They're working their asses off building this
wishing well.
And Robbie's like, God, this is so fucking hot. I can't believe she would want this right now, you know?
Right.
And Jimmy Dawn's like, well, I don't know if you've noticed, but what Betty wants, Betty gets. Like, she has her ways. Because she's a manipulative, self-centered bitch.
Right, it's her good way call, or the
Jamie.
Highway.
Good call, Jamie.
Yeah, you go, Jamie.
So one night in August of 1983, just casually, Betty was like, hey, I'm going to kill Jimmy Dawn. And Robbie's like, what the fuck? Why? And Betty's like, well, for one thing, he has a bunch of life insurance. And I've spent my whole life worried about how I'm going to pay bills. And I'm, like, tired of it. Like, I'm over it. Like, I just...
Well, now she's confiding in another kid. She at least couldn't keep it between her and Shirley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and she continued to say, like, well, who knows how long it's going to be before he starts slapping me around. And Robbie had heard about his mother's abusive relationships because obviously wasn't around for them because she was like, I got to go. Here's Bobby. Bye, all the rest of you. But so he'd heard about them. But Jimmy Don was like a different guy, right? Robbie had never even heard them having a serious argument. And Jimmy Don obviously... Right,
he sounds like an actual stand-up human.
Right. And he worshipped the ground that she walked on. And he could never imagine Jimmy Don hitting his mom. Because, like I said, they never even fucking argued, really. Like a heated argument, you know?
Right.
And Betty said, like, don't worry about it. I have it all figured out. I just need your help. Can you imagine if I said, hey, I'm going to kill someone. Can you help me, Dad?
Here's my 39. It's always loaded.
Thanks. No. But I'm going to need help on the cleanup end, actually.
Oh, my God. That's so bad.
It's terrible. It's horrible. So Betty just seemed to expect that Robbie would help her without question. And she instructed Robbie to leave and go find his brother, Bobby, to make sure, like, he didn't come back to the house. And that Robbie was supposed to come back to the house a few hours later, but alone. Like, make sure you do not bring Bobby back here with you.
Yeah.
Because she was, again, protecting Bobby from making sure that he wasn't going to have any involvement in it. You know, right. Fuck Shirley, fuck Robbie, but my little precious angel, like, we need to keep him out of this. So watching Jimmy Don sleep, Betty thinking how peaceful he looked, but she also thought about the fact that him being dead would solve all of her financial worries.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's not good.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
She's a horrible, horrible, horrible human.
Yeah. Especially because this guy is, like, finally taken care of. Like, he is finally the one that she is looking for and the one that she needs.
Yeah, now she's just gotten a taste of killing and she likes it.
Well, but, unfortunately for him, he's gotten tangled up with her, you know? And she's manipulative and she's got him convinced.
By no means should have any of them have died. Or I guess Wayne's the only one that's died, but, you know, the attempted of the other two. Mm-hmm. By no means should any of them have died. Like, she should have just been done, or they should have just been done, called it and been done, whatever, and it is what it is. Like, cut your fucking losses, because it takes more work to be unhappy than it does to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it takes more work to be miserable. But with that being said, like, no one deserved to die, and now she, like, actually found the person for her. Or not necessarily for her, but the person that she's wanted.
Right.
And she's just going to go kill him.
A good person.
Yeah.
She found a good person who wants to take care of her and wants to protect her and wants her to have what she wants.
Right.
Yeah. She's just some. So, as she had done before with Wayne, she shot Jimmy Don first in the chest and then in the head to make sure that he was dead. And the scene was, like, way worse than when she shot Wayne, because she shot him, like, in the chest and the head. So blood poured from his head, his nose, his mouth, and his chest. There's blood on the walls. There's just, like, blood everywhere, right? But her main concern was to prevent his blood from soaking her through her mattress, because, you know, again, it's all about Betty. So she grabbed a bedspread from the closet and she rolled Jimmy Don into it. And she hoped that would, like, seep up his blood so he wouldn't keep, like, ruining her mattress. And then she grabbed a blue canvas sleeping bag, just as she had done with Wayne. So a little deja vu here. Apparently she's got, like, some stock and some blue canvas sleeping bag company. And she wrapped him up inside of that. And then she drug his body off the bed and hit the floor with a thud, which, like, I think, like, it kind of shook her a little bit. She didn't expect that, but he's dead, right?
Right.
She knew she had to clean up before anyone got home, and she called Shirley, and Shirley was furious because Betty had already told her that she planned on killing Jimmy Don, and Shirley had screamed at Betty and told her that she promised that she would never do it again and she wasn't going to help her. So she went to Shirley first to ask for Shirley's help, and Shirley told her to fuck off.
Yeah.
And so that's why she went to Robbie. Otherwise, she would have just kept Shirley
in the loop,
in the web. Yeah. And would not have included Robbie.
Okay, but that makes sense. Because
Shirley wasn't going to, I didn't want to give it away. But so, you know, she's like, hey, I need you to help me clean up, blah, blah. And Shirley's like, no, go fuck yourself, whatever. So, you know, plus, again, besides the fact that she promised her, I'm not going to kill anybody else, and I'm not going to help you if you do, Jimmy Don was nice to her and he was kind to her and he took care of her and he was nice to the kids.
Right. He was an actual good person.
Yeah. So why do you need to do this? You know,
because she puts herself first.
Yes.
Even though he was putting her first alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when Robbie came home alone, Betty told him to hurry, that they needed to move Jimmy Don into the wishing well. And Robbie's like, what the fuck? And she's like, well, yeah. Why do you think I had him build it?
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
It's horrible. So about 2 a.m., Shirley, I guess, was like feeling guilty for not helping her mom. She showed up at the trailer and she had a friend drop her off.
Oh my God. So she's bringing more people into the sorry. Sorry, it's 2 a.m. I need you to go take me to my mom's house.
Well, but as before, she said, you know, my mom and Jimmy Don got into a fight and she's really upset and he's left. And so she did the whole that story again. And so they pull up and the friend was like, well,
she's reading the note cards that
she's got.
Betty wrote for her.
Yeah. So the friend.
Betty's like, keep these in the future just in case.
Just in case.
We just maybe X out that person's name for the next person.
Or just, it has a line that says, insert name here.
Yes.
So the friend is dropping her off at the trailer and she's like, oh, well, why is Jimmy Don's truck here if he left? And, you know,
that's weird.
So the next morning, Robbie awoke to see his mother planting flowers in the wishing well. She's got white begonias. She's got peat moss. Like, she's just out there planting away.
Being a little gardener.
Yep, making it look all pretty. And he went outside to see his mother, and she told him that she needed an alibi, and she wanted to make it look like Jimmy Don had drowned while he was out on his boat. So she instructed...
Shouldn't there be a body then?
Yeah, exactly.
Without gunshot wounds in it.
So she instructed Robbie where he should take the boat and he should leave it. And she had already put inside the boat his fishing license and his glasses. And she put the fishing license in there so that whoever found the boat would know that it was his boat, right?
Yeah.
For identification. She put his glasses. She put his bottle of nitroglycerin from when he had had his heart attack. And she opened the bottle and she tossed a few pills out on the ground in the boat, like on the floor of the boat.
Yeah.
To make it look like he had a heart attack and he was trying to take the pills. And then he went overboard and then he drowned. And Robbie was shocked about how his mother actually did have everything planned out.
She's a fucking... a horrible mad genius.
Yeah. And so he goes, takes the boat, leaves it where she asks him to. And
it almost kind of reminds me, do you remember that Nick Jonas movie? He's like, they have like a lake house, him and his family, and they go back there for the summer, or maybe it's like a full-time thing. I don't know. Any hoodles. And the couple next door moves in and it's like an older, I mean like maybe 50s, and the wife is, and Nick Jonas is supposed to be like a high schooler.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife is like
seducing Nick Jonas. Yes,
and then leaves the boat with all the things.
Yeah. Maybe it's from this.
Maybe
that's where they got the idea. So he goes, he drops off the boat where she asks him to. And that's it. That's where we're going to end.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Fuck. No, that's okay. I'm excited for part three. I feel like I've gotten all of my thoughts out though throughout the episode. So I don't know how much more I need to say because fuck this bitch.
Yeah, she's crazy. And I'm sorry to you guys, unless you really like all the details. But like Daphne said in the beginning, like when you listen to a podcast and you're like, how can it be 20 fucking minutes? Like this is over a 30 fucking year period.
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't need every time you wiped your ass or went to fucking King Supers or whatever, but I need to know how we got here.
Yeah.
What led us to this point? And the people that you're bringing into this point, like, what's their story? Like, what do they have going on? If it's nothing, like how I said Jimmy Don got married again and divorced. Like, I didn't go into that whole thing. But Susie, he's married to Susie for 14 years. She helps raise Jamie. Jamie's a good kid in that period of time. Like,
right.
He recognizes what a good woman is to his dad.
Yeah.
Like, so it's kind of like, and the fact that she burned down the fucking house he's living in. Like, so these are important details.
Right. That to need show to that she's a piece of shit.
Be in the story.
Yeah. And show what a decent guy Jimmy Don is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And Wayne, he might have been a douche, but again, just leave him. Like,
yeah.
I mean, whatever. Okay. And yeah, you could save up your money. You don't have to like divorce him right at that minute, but like save up your money and buy your own fucking trailer and then divorce him and kick him out.
Yeah, there's so many other ways to go about this.
Or buy him out because the trailer's already on your property. So anyway, I don't know. It's whatever. But, so that being said, I don't want to, like, I hope that everybody likes the longity of it. And then next episode, we're going to get into, like,
how it all unravels.
Yeah, how it all unravels. And I'm not going to try to be too court heavy, but the court shit is pretty crazy, and her lawyer is something.
Well, I'm actually happy that you're making this into a three-parter, because I think they are necessary details. It's the Goldilocks thing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, and that means there's... their mind goes. Time for druggy time druggy for my time dog.
For the dog.
So therefore, we better get going. You can follow us on the gram at That's Disturbing Podcast. Send us a DM there or comment on what you want to hear from us. And if you say shorten it, we're going to say then stick it.
We're going to say then go listen to somebody who puts out a 20-minute podcast.
If you say shorten it, we say stick it.
Right. Condenses 30 years into 20 minutes.
And you can send us a Gmail, thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for coming back for part two for Betty Lou Beats. And we'll see you in the next one with part three, right, Mom?
Yep. And that's going to be it, I promise.
Okay.
I mean, not forever, but for Betty Lou
Beats. And then we're done.
For Betty Lou Beats.
Then we're absolutely done.
Nope.
Because I have to help my mom with some stuff.
No. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.